Hello, this is Roger Schaus, and this is Jumpstart Rewind. This is part of our Heaven Bound podcast family. Jumpstart number 2661, first written August 26, 2020. Colossians 3, verse 23. Whatever you do, do your work heartily, as for the Lord rather than for men. Now hiring, says a sign. I see those signs everywhere. I talk to business owners, and the story is the same. It's hard to find people that want to work, and by work, they mean beyond the first paycheck. Short-sighted and short-term seems to be the way most people think. Work just long enough to afford something that they want to buy, then they quit. They quit until there's something else they want to buy, and then they'll find another job just to afford the money for that. I've not always preached. Most of my generation had summer jobs in high school and college. For me, it was a busboy in a restaurant. It was working in a fast food place. It was a landscaper, and it was working in the fishery. Most of those jobs were far from ideal. Hot, smelly, especially the fishery, dirty, and an incentive to get to college and to do something better. Our verse today is about slaves. It's addressed to slaves. There were slaves in the first century. Some had great masters like Philemon, who was a Christian. Others had oppressive owners who took advantage of them. The slave back then was stuck. He had no rights. He had no freedoms. He had no choices. He could run, but if he was found, it was bad news for him. Some slaves were Christians. The early churches were made up of common people who were looking for something, especially hope. And in Jesus, they found the greatest hope of all, salvation. Now that these slaves were Christians, their faith and their walk with Jesus impacted their relationship as slaves. They had a new and different outlook at work. No longer were they just to do as little as possible. No longer were they to cut corners and fool their masters. They were disciples of Jesus. They were to work as if the Lord was their boss. They, as our verse says, were to work heartily. They were working for the Lord. When we think of shining our light of influence, our thoughts tend to go towards how we talk, our attitudes, how modest we are. And all of that is true. But our verse reminds us that the way we work reflects upon our faith and our commitment to Jesus. The verse before warns not with external service as those who merely please men, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. External service, that gets into the inside-outside stuff. The outside, I look like a pretty good worker. The outside, I please my master. But inside, I could smack him if I could get away with it. Inside, I can't stand him. Inside, my spirit and my heart hate the man. My insides do not show what the outside really is. From these principles, we find applications to the workforce today. Getting up and going to work. Necessary to put food on the table, pay the mortgage, and someday to be able to stop working and serve and survive. Work is not a dirty word. It's not a curse word placed upon mankind. God had Adam farming before they sinned. God wants us to work. It makes us productive and gives us a sense of accomplishment. The idle mind and the idle hand become the devil's workshop and playground. Too busy to do good, to do wrong is a good place to be. Busy doing good makes the body tired and makes a person feel useful. Now here are a few thoughts. First, the work ethic is taught at home. Lazy teens become lazy 40-year-olds. Doing a job and doing it right and doing it well are things that mom and dad pass on to the next generation. Lazy parents become an influence to not do a job well and to find ways of cutting corners. Most of us have been there. Rather than cleaning the room as mom tells us to do, we stuff things under the bed. Sure, the room looks nice when she walks in, but we truly haven't cleaned it and put things away. Getting away with things like that sets a tone to how one does homework, their yard work, and later how they enter the workforce. The work ethic is taught not when one is 16, but it begins when one is 5 by picking up his toys. When my grandkids come over and we get all the toys out, I have a little song I sing with them, clean up, clean up, and I'm busy picking up the toys with them. That's how one does it. It's not fair for me to sit in the chair and yell at them to clean up the room. You want to teach a child a good work ethic, then you get busy and help them. You help them with their yard work. Later, that becomes housework or other things. Work hard, play hard. That's the spirit. Secondly, the work environment naturally becomes a great opportunity to share the gospel. You're around people all day long. You hear their stories, their misery, their mistakes, and their troubles. Now, you can be preachy and sound self-righteous and better than others, and they will cut you off and leave you out. Or in kindness, you can drop little suggestions, references to God and hope. Co-workers are watching you. Do your work heartily, our passage says. Don't preach one lesson and then live another. Follow the company policy and rules. Don't be bending the rules and abusing time and taking advantage of sick days and things like that. People notice. And what they will find out quickly is whether your walk and your talk match. It's easy to preach a good story, but do you live it yourself? Honest in a dishonest world, pure in an impure world, not engaging in potty talk, suggestive jokes, or trash talking others. Light of the world means being different. Others are watching. Your work ethic is how they see you the most. Are you working hard? Are you doing what you're supposed to be doing? Are you dependable? Thirdly, God's honored by the manner in which you work. That's the direction Paul points in our passage. You're not working for a master, you're working for the Lord. And often we think, if my boss was like the Lord, then I'd work better. But since he isn't, I won't. That's not something our passage teaches. Only do your work if the boss is great. Otherwise, you don't have to. That's not the Bible. In fact, Peter adds servants are to be submissive to their masters, even if they are unreasonable. Work has a way of destroying good moods, healthy attitudes, and positive spirits. Toxic work relations is the number one reason why people change their jobs. It's important to be Christ-like, but establish borders. You do not have to express your opinion on every subject discussed. You do not have to attend every argument you're invited to. You are surrounded by folks who have no problem lying, cheating, and stealing. You witness the worst work ethic every day. You become a part of that yourself, or you can rise above that and honor God by doing what you can. I've known people who've changed the entire atmosphere of work by the way they conducted themselves. I've known some who were invited to pray, teach Bible, and talk constructive things at workplace. Remembering the golden rule helps us as we work as God wants us to. There's no excuse nor reason for us to be sloppy, lazy, indifferent, or even toxic and hostile at work. We may receive those things, but we must never deliver those things. Get up. Say a prayer, get to work on time, every time, work hard, thank the Lord that you have a job, look for opportunities to invite, encourage, and help others, use the benefits of your job, your paycheck, to help the kingdom of God, go home, unwind, relax, remember those little ears hear what you say about work. Now hiring. I feel that one of those signs will stay up for a long, long time. Finding workers is hard these days. You must be one of those good workers. Thank you so much for listening.